I want to share with you today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll be in 2 Timothy for a minute too, but we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 6, chapter 6, yeah. Paul has continued, these two letters that Paul writes to Timothy are very encouraging, and they're to help this young man through all the adversity that he is facing, and he is facing a lot of it. Not only from the outside of persecution, but also from the inside of all that's going on. And so, and he's young. And so there's a lot of fingers pointing at him. And Paul, being his mentor, is really lifting him up and giving him some words of encouragement. And sometimes, you know, when you read a letter, sometimes when you have received a letter, the beginning is very easy. And the middle is just, there's some things in there, but it's always what does the end of a letter say? Seems to be the anchor of a letter. And so this is at the end of this first letter that Paul sends to Timothy, and it is, it's a pretty important part. And so we're going to read that this morning. We're going to read a little bit of this ending. And before we do, let's go ahead and pray. Father, Lord, thank you so much just for the part of just this first half of the service has just been really good today. Thank you for it. But Lord, here we are moving into this second piece. May your spirit have even more free reign today. Touch the hearts that need to be touched. Increase the knowledge in all of our minds. And may our spirits be right with yours. And if not, may you convict our hearts and draw us towards you. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what this message is to us as a church, but also individually. In Jesus' name, amen. If I was to title this message, it would be Fight, Fight, and Fight. You know, you see these little Facebook clips about people fighting all the time. And I look and say, what are they fighting for? Many times people are fighting over stupid things. Stupid things. But Paul is going to share with Timothy that there is a reason to fight. There is a reason to fight, and we're going to look into that today. So we see here in verse 11, we'll look at verse 11 here, chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. It says, but you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And what we see here is he calls him, he reminds him that you are a man of God. If you have Christ in your life today, you are a person of God. You're either a man of God or you're a woman of God. And Paul is telling him that you need to remember these things, that because you are a man of God, Timothy, you need to remember these things and you need to flee from certain things. Now, previously in this chapter, there were some things that were written that Paul wrote. But one of those things is you got to be cautious that you don't get sucked into a love for money. And there are pastors today that get sucked into a love of money. They will change churches just for an increase in pay. They will change churches for an increase of notoriety, for a bigger church. Right now it is said that if a guy wants to have a large church, it wouldn't take long to find a church, even if he had small churches, and that's okay. God gives you what you can handle, what a pastor's raise called, but instead of going to where they're called, now they're saying that guys can go in and pick a church because the pastor pool is very thin. There's not a lot of guys out there seeking pastor roles. There's more pastor positions open than there are pastors to fill it. And so, but Paul is giving him this piece in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And by craving it, he says, by craving it, this is what he says. Some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. He's reminding Timothy, don't be chasing the money. Don't be chasing the money. So he says, flee from that stuff. That's one of the big things. Flee, don't get into that. What we're seeing right now is we're still seeing men who are on bot radio, Christian radio. These men are dropping. Many of these men are dropping off. Unfortunately, their past is coming to haunt them. They never dealt with it, and sometimes it is dealing with money or something in the sexual realm. But here we find that Paul tells Timothy, you're a man of God and you flee from these things. But he says, you flee from these things, but if we don't keep moving forward somewhere, we will go to something. So Paul tells him, you need to pursue something. You need to pursue this next piece, and that is the righteousness and the godliness and the faith and love, endurance and gentleness. You know what that is? That's actually parts of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. So we are called, and he called to pursue those things instead of the other things, because it is hard. It is hard to live a life as a believer sometimes. It is hard to serve. It is hard. Ministry is hard. And guess what? It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be hard sometimes as a Christian. We're always thinking, oh, I'm going to be a Christian. Everything's going to go easy for me. No, it is hard being a Christian. It is hard in this world because we're living in a broken world. And there's a drawing in ourselves that are drawing to the righteousness of God, which is pure and perfect. But we are sinners saved by grace. And so there's a battle inside of us where we battle the flesh. And so here he tells us in verse 12, he tells us this piece here. He tells Timothy, I want you to fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And here he's telling Timothy, you got to fight the good fight. Don't get caught up in all those other fights of the world. You got to fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. I keep up a little bit on politics, but I look at some feeds, I check it out, but that's enough. Because I don't want to get drawn into that, because it's so easy to get angry. It's so easy to get angry. And I want to tell you, the things change. The leadership changes. It's always changing. It's always changing, especially in America. It's always changing. It's always changing. But God never changes. The promises of God never change. And we're called to fight the good fight. We're called to fight the good fight of what? The fight of faith. We're called to fight the fight of faith. I mean, sometimes when you get up, even on Sunday, you may not want to go to church, but you need to fight that fight inside of you and get up and go. You need to get up and go. There's a big survey out right now, and it's all this is, why do people don't go to church? What's the number one reason why people don't go to church? Because they say this, I just worship God in my own way. And so what's happening now is, especially in America, we always want to do it our way. We want the Burger King piece. We did it our way, right? You have it your way. You have it your way. And you notice if you go there and you eat it for a minute, it tastes good. You leave an hour later, you go, man, why did I go there? And you know, as older you get, you go, why did I go there? And then next thing you find, you say, I'm not going there again. 4 or 5 months later, you pull in again and you have repeat the same thing. But here's what people do. They say, I'm not going to go to church. And we say this, we talked about this last week. There's a big majority, 72% of America say they're saved, but I can drive down First Street and see all the parking spots full. Nobody's leaving home. People aren't going to church. And we find that, but people want to claim that they're believers. Here it is. That's not fighting the good fight. That's giving in. But he's called to fight the good fight of the faith, the life that God's called us to live. We are to fight for that peace. I'm telling you, we are called to fight that peace. But life gets hard sometimes, doesn't it? It gets hard. And there's curveballs that come in. And sometimes in life, we feel like we just keep striking out over and over and over. It's been a long time since we had a good hit in life. It's been a long time since we had a good moment in life. And we just feel like sometimes the air just gets, we get knocked out. The air gets knocked out of us. If you ever had that feeling, you just can't grasp, you can't get air inside of you. And sometimes it feels like life just takes a hold of you and puts you in a headlock and it's not letting you go. And sometimes we just continue to take hits over and over. And I'm telling you, in a fight, you're going to get hurt. You're never as tough as you think that you are. There's always somebody tougher than you. But as a believer, we have Christ inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit that can give us the strength that we need to fight these fights. You will get rocked in life. Your life will get rocked from a time to time. And you're going to think, where is God? But I want you to remind yourself, you fight the good fight and you can say, hey, he said he'll never leave me, forsake me. So he is not a far away from me, but he is right there with me. Some of us are going to learn, we're going to have to take verbal abuse. We take verbal abuse in the world, but we got to fight the fight. And we will get hit in different parts of our life, in our ministry, in our marriage, with our kids, and all those things. But I'm telling you, God, Paul is saying, fight the good fight. Keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. You will get dazed from time to time. You will feel confused. Your head will get rocked once in a while, and you're going to think, what is going on here? I want to tell you, stay focused on the things of Christ, and you will get through it. You will get through it. There will be times when you will want to quit. And you'll want to do what they do in boxing. They can throw in what they call the towel. And and here it is. God said, you never throw in the towel. Could you imagine if Jesus threw in the towel? Could you imagine if God threw in the towel in Genesis chapter 6? Could you imagine if God threw in the towel every time that you messed up? Could you imagine God giving up on you? Well, the promise is God never does give up on you. As a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. He deposited the Holy Spirit inside you. It's a guarantee for you. It's a guarantee that you are saved. It's a guarantee. You have all the promises of God. You are sealed for the day of redemption. You are with. He is not giving up on you. So let's stop trying to think about throwing in the towel. Let's stop throwing in the towel, pick it up, and fight the good fight. Fight the good fight that we are called to do. There's going to be some bad times. There's going to be some bad times. There's going to be some moments when you're going to get hit so hard that you are going to be on the floor. That may be a health issue, a cancer scare, a surgery, it may be a divorce, whatever it may be, and you're going to be laying out on that floor. And your mind's going to tell you, and evil's going to tell you, just stay here. Just stay here. Stay down. Stay down. You don't have it in you. You don't have it in you. But you can stand up and you can start this move and start to move yourself because you go on the promises of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you start to move up and you get back on your knees. You pause. You don't get all the way back up. But on your knees, you begin to pray to God what's going on. But then you move into praising God that you're even able to move where you are. And then you're able, then his strength will put you back on your feet. Because you can't do it on your own. You cannot fight the good fight on your own. You need Christ. You need the Holy Spirit. And if you have Christ, you have all what it takes to fight the good fight. And then he moves in and he says this. Fight the good fight of the faith. And he says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Listen, if God's called you to his salvation, he knows your name and number. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. And it's for his good purposes. And if you're down and out and you look like you're ready to quit, he's not done with you. He's not done with you. You may think you're done, but he's not done with you. But then he goes into verse 13. In the presence of God, who gives life to all, and of Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God will bring this about in his own time. Here we find that this is a command. The command to do what? Two things. One, to fight the good fight. You got to fight. You got to be a fighter. And this isn't about physical fight. Because Ephesians chapter 6 says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers and darkness and the darkness of the spiritual realm. All that is our battle is not against flesh and blood. So it don't matter how old you are, you're still a fighter. And I'm telling you, you can be a champion fighter at 75 and 80. You can't do that in the flesh, but you can do that in the spiritual world. And the darkness doesn't look at your flesh saying, oh, you're too big and you're too tough. No, it's what resides in you and how you use and how God uses you and how you allow the Holy Spirit to work through your life. And I'm telling you, you can fight fights that you never thought you could fight. And I'm telling you, some of us have too many losses and not enough wins. And God is a winner. Jesus is a winner. The Holy Spirit is a winner. The world is a loser. Satan is a loser. How do I know that? Because the Bible already said that he's a loser. And he'll be thrown in the lake of fire with the Antichrist. Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be with Christ, and those are winners. And the only way to be a winner is to have Jesus in your camp, to have Jesus inside of you, to have the Holy Spirit, have God as your Father, and you claim it, you live it, and you fight the good fight. And you keep on fighting. And you might have some bruises and you might have some scars, but I'm telling you, that's a sign of a fighter. So the command that he's saying, this is a command. He says, fight the good fight of faith. And the second command is take hold of eternal life to which you were called. It's a salvation piece, and Timothy does great. He's fighting the good fight. And then he gets knocked down. And letter number two comes. Second Timothy comes in. And it's right there in the beginning. Like I said, it's important stuff's in the beginning. And the ending has got this big monster piece on it. And the middle is just a bunch of things that are important. And they're in there. But usually it's that front end, that book, right there in the beginning and right there in the end. And we're going to be in 2 Timothy, right there in the beginning and right there in the end. There's a lot of good stuff in the middle, but we're going to hit this front. Timothy's struggling. How many of you all struggle in your walk with Jesus? Listen, this is Timothy. This is a man of God. This is an awesome man. God's using him. Paul's using him. And he's doing a lot of things. He's got a lot on his plate. He's got a lot on his shoulders. He's got a lot in front of him. But he's having a little struggle. He's having a little bit of struggle. This is why sometimes we need to have the spiritual gift of encouragement. That people that have the spiritual gift of encouragement need to keep encouraging. Because some people need to hear it. And here we find that Paul is writing a letter to Timothy again. And in chapter 1, I'm going to read here in verse 3. He says, I thank God from whom I serve with a clear conscience. Let me back up here. In the beginning of it, he says, to Timothy, my dearly loved son. It's almost like he adopted him. To Timothy, my dearly loved son. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remembered you in my prayers, night and day. Remember your tears. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and is in your mother Eunice. I now am convinced is in you also. But therefore I remind you to rekindle, put into flame, rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. He's reminding him, listen. You remember, God called you to this. You need to work it. What God has called you to, you got to put back in. You got to flame that fire back up. How many of you have felt like the fire inside of you has come down to just a flickering flame? And Paul is telling Timothy, you got to put some air on it. You got to work it up. You got to fan that. You got to fan it back up. You got to fan it. And this is what he says. This is the piece. He says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear. He was struggling with fear, folks. It was something else. He would have put something else. But right immediately after that, he said, for God did not give us a spirit. He did not give us a spirit of fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. What does this sound like? It sounds like Timothy's in a boxing match. Paul's in his corner saying, come on, man. Come on, you got to fight this fight. You got to fight this fight. You got there's power in you, and there's love in you, and you can make sound judgment. But it all comes from what lives inside of you, and you got to key in on that. You got to work that. You got to fan that up. How do you fan that up? You keep worshiping. You keep praying. You keep seeking the things that God's called you to. You read your Bible. You pick a couple of scriptures out. Get them by memory. Go out in your car, park in the field, and walk. Take a walk in the woods and just be the crazy person. And just lift your hands up and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Don't forget me. I know you're here, but in my flesh, I feel like you've forgotten me. But in my spirit, I know that you're here. Help me understand. I don't get it, but I'm going to trust in you. And I'm telling you, I know some of you have already done that. And if you've done it once, I'm telling you, the fights don't, it's not one fight and done. It's a lot of fights until you breathe your last. Yes. And then he says this, part of it, what was happening was, he tells Timothy in verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Or of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus. There's some scripture in there that shares that. Don't be afraid. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. And this is Timothy. Sometimes we struggle even in the fight of sharing the gospel. We struggle even in the fight of even saying Jesus' name in public. I don't want you to think this guy is Timothy's a bad guy. Timothy is an awesome man that God used. He's all through this New Testament, and it's all positive. But he had a moment of struggle. And if you'd be honest with yourself, You know there are moments when you struggle too. And you could probably say, hey, Jimmy, I ain't struggled once. I can't even count all the times that I've struggled. But then you ought to be able to say, but I also want to tell you, I can't even tell you how many times Jesus fought my battle. That's where testimonies come from. They come from fighters. They come from winners. They come from losers who became winners. They come from people who had some defeats in their life and in some battles. You're not going to win every battle, but you will win the war. You will win the big one because He already won it at the cross. He already won it at the cross. So we are called to fight the good fight. And then what happens in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you turn over there, what we find out here now, Paul is writing to the end of the letter. Remember, now we're at the end of the letter. This is coming to the end. This is coming to the end. And what we see here, he says this. He says, Paul says this, listen, I want to encourage you, Timothy, in verse 3. We're going to pick up verse 3. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear and what they want to hear. What he's warning Timothy, saying, listen, you're going to have this fight in the future. Paul is telling Timothy, there's going to be a fight, and this is going to be one of your fights. People aren't going to want to listen. They're not going to want to listen to the truth. They're going to want to listen to their own thing. He said, you got to fight that fight. You got to fight that fight. He says in verse 4, they will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to miss. He's saying, listen, you're going to have to fight the fight that sometimes the crowd's not going to be as big as you want it to be. Because they're going across town where it's real loud. And they say Jesus, but it's not the right Jesus. You know what I want to tell you what the problem is with American Christians today? We want to be entertained. The truth of the Bible is like third, just like secondary, way down over here, even if it's on the list. It's all about, you need to entertain me. You need to make me feel good when I walk out of the church. And you need to take care of my kids like aid number one. And we should do that. But you need to do everything that I want. If I don't want it, and I don't like it, I don't get what I want, I'm going to go down the street and I will find, and you will find what you want. You look, you will find what you want. But I will tell you, most of them in the Bible is about an inch deep. The spiritualness is about an inch deep. They're going to struggle because spiritually they're about an inch deep. And they're not fighters. The people jumping from one church to another church to another church. And I'm going to tell you, fighters don't jump from one church to the next church. A fighter will say, listen, I know my church is struggling, but I'm going to sit there and I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight this fight. And it may have went down in numbers, but I'm going to fight this fight because this is where God's called me. If I claim that God's called me here and testify that in people that God's called me here, then I'm going to stay here until God calls me out. And I'm telling you, you got to fight the fight. And Paul is telling Timothy, these are some fights you're going to have to fight, young man. Because something very important is coming up in the next verse. Or a couple of verses. He said, not only will they turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to miss, it says in verse 5, but as for you, listen, you, Timothy, listen, exercise self-control in everything. He's coming back to that piece. Exercise self-control. This is where Christians get out of control. They lose self-control and they fall into flesh control. And flesh control will always lead you to what your immediate need is, to the quickest way, the easiest way, and the fastest way. So you cannot have to deal with it. God's not always interested in the fastest way. He's not always interested in the easiest way. If you're in your life group, I believe many of you are in the book of Exodus. And God could have told him to make a straight line over to the promised land, but he didn't. He took a long route and a long bunch of loops. God has a reason for it. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure the hardship. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Your Sunday mornings, you get up and you go and you worship. You come to worship. Other people want to go fishing. They want to go do ball games and travel ball and all that. I'm not saying travel ball is wrong. I'm not saying that. Listen, that's the biggest pet peeve down south in Mississippi from the pastors that I heard is travel ball. They hate it. Because it takes up all the Sunday. They go, where's half my church? They're gone because of travel ball. I want to tell you, when you do travel ball on Sunday and that's, you're constantly out of church on Sunday, I will tell you this. You have put your kids before God. You have put yourself glory before God, trying to live through your kids. That you couldn't make this team, you couldn't do. I'm telling you what it is. We are called to put God first. Amen. Over travel ball. We're called to put God first over our own spouses. And we are called to put God first over our own self. I learned that through my wife. Shared something with me last week. It was amazing. It was a good piece. Yes, you can learn something from your wife. Yeah. Biblically. But this is what Paul says. This is the heart-wrenching part. Paul's going to say, I'm about done. Not that he's quitting, but here it is. Verse 6, he says this. Paul says this. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is close. Paul is saying, Timothy, my life is coming to an end. I'm going to be put to death. That's what he's saying. My time is coming to an end. And I'm sure that was one of the hardest parts of this letter for Timothy to read. The one that had nurtured him and brought him up and guided him and discipled him and encouraged him, wrote letters to him. And when nobody else had confidence in him, Paul did. But Paul says, I'm almost done. In verse 7, he says this, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. Paul is saying, I have fought the good fight. My fighting days are coming to an end. I have finished the race. I'm getting ready to cross over the finish line. And Timothy's reading this. He knows it's last time he's going to hear from Paul. There may have been a few tears shed, and he may have stopped right here and began to pray. I would assume that that could possibly have been a very practical thing that could have happened. And so he hears his mentor says, I have kept the faith. And so he's hearing someone before him that's not just challenging him to do something, but someone that has coming to the end to completion of doing it. It's always the thing that people say can't be done. And when finally somebody does it, then a whole bunch of people start doing it. Skateboarding. My boys were in skateboarding and somewhat we watched some BMX stuff a little bit. And always be something that somebody couldn't do. But then when somebody did it, then they were down at the park trying to do it. And then somebody would land it. And then other people would land it. And they would keep doing it. It's not impossible to fight the good fight. We read right here that Paul has fought the good fight all the way to the end. And you can too. But God sees it. It's not a waste. It's not a waste. It wasn't just to get you through what's going on here. It wasn't just to get you through that hardship, battle, fight that you were going through. There's something more to it. And Paul gives it to us right here. He says in the verse 8, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. What? The crown of righteousness. That's, crowns are for fighters. And this is a fighter who's coming to the end and he knows the promises of God. He says, there is reserve. That means, you know what that means? You know what that means for you? In heaven, in God's, God has it. There's a crown for you that's sitting and it's reserved, which means it's waiting for you. But you got to fight the good fight. It's waiting for you. Isn't that awesome? That's a promise of God. He says, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day. But not only to me, Paul says, but to all those who have loved his appearing. So all of us who have Jesus Christ, we're called to fight. And in the presence of God in Christ, there is a crown of righteousness reserved for you. Because you're a fighter. You have salvation. You have Jesus Christ. You have learned now that life is even harder as being a believer. But you are blessed and God blesses you and answers prayers and does all kinds of things for you. But in store for all that fighting, all that you're doing, all the ministry you do, all hard ministry is, there is something that is in store for you. And don't think it's going to be cheap. Don't think it's going to be something you don't want. Anything God makes is beautiful. Do you know that? And Genesis, God looked at it, it's all His creation, and He said, it is good. You notice you don't hear God say a whole lot about good things, but what He did was good because it was perfect. It's perfect. Jesus is perfect. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit living inside of us, which is perfect. And you know, one day we're going to be perfect. When we get into heaven, we get into this, we get with the Lord, there's going to be a crown of righteousness. But until then, you got to stay in the ring. You got to fight the good fight, a fight of faith. You got to continue to keep hold of your salvation. You got to be strong as a believer. And it has nothing to do with your physical part. But although sometimes that fight can be physical. As I said, you can get leukemia, cancer. These diseases that the world has. When we're in the presence of the Lord, those diseases they are not there. They're not there. They're not there. Anybody that you know of has passed away from cancer or disease or anything, they're healthy today. They're with the Lord, they're healthy. They're good. Folks, we got to be fighters. We got to stop throwing in the towel because we had a bad day. We got to stop throwing in the towel because it isn't turning out the way that we want. We got to stop throwing in the towel because may it not look like the way we want it to be. We can't throw in the towel because this, you know, even if your family got split, all these horrible things happened. This is why God gave us this. This is why God gave us this, that we know that even with Adam and Eve, there was a murderer in their own family that killed their own flesh and blood, but yet they continued to worship and call upon the name of the Lord. They weren't quitters. They raised a son who began to call upon the name of the Lord. And where did he get it? He gets it from his family. They were not quitters. Noah wasn't a quitter. Continued to fight the good fight when everybody around him was putting him down. Job was another one. He lost his whole family, all of his riches. And so everything that he had, his wife said, let's curse God and die. But he said, no, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You think that was easy to say? That's throwing punches. That's fighting the fight. David walking down. Not only the Bible tells us to flee and flee from the devil. Flee from the devil. Flee from temptation. But we're also called to run to the fight. As David ran to the fight and fought Goliath, somebody had to step it up. We need fighters in the camp. We need fighters. There's only one true champion on this side of heaven, whoever came, and that was Jesus. But we all will be true champions when we come and meet the Lord in the air. Because we're fighters. We fight for what's right, the righteousness, and the goodness, and the kindness, and for our faith. And be a fighter. If we can look at ourselves spiritually, a lot of us would have a lot of wounds, scars. We can't see those things. A lot of us can't see those things. We can't see it physically. But a lot of us had scars from ministry and people, what people have said, and abusive words and all those things. But I want to remind you of this. They are nothing compared to what God has prepared for us. Don't let the negative and the bad things overshadow the good things that God has given to us. Be a fighter. Share the good news. Be a fighter. Be the light in the darkness. Be a fighter. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Be a fighter. Be the man that God's called you to be. Be a fighter. Be the woman that God's called you to be. Fight the good fight. Fight. Keep fighting, even when you want to quit. Ask God to give you strength to keep on fighting. Because I will tell you this. When you are down and out and you're laying on that canvas, sometimes God says that's where you need to be. Because that's where you talk to me the most. That's when you get real. We do that, don't we? And maybe today that's where you are. Maybe you might say, I'm tired of fighting. I want to remind yourself to maybe ask this question. Ask God if He's tired of fighting for you. And He'll say no. He's not tired of fighting for you. But He will whisper, as He whispered in my ears many times, Jimmy, get up. And sometimes He does this. Sometimes He's loving and soft, but sometimes I remember a few times He says, get up. You don't belong here. You're better than this. Come on now. Get up. You're better than this. He speaks like that sometimes because He loves you. If you walk out of this building today knowing God doesn't love you, then you missed everything I'm talking about. He said to pursue righteousness, and Paul told him also to pursue love. Father, we're getting ready to open up this part of our service. Just may Your will be done. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.